Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Lawrence Cantor joining us from Barclays.
That's not Capital. G-U-I-L-T.
It's not equity. No. That was the banking crisis. That's over. A gilt. Do you buy gilts, Larry? I mean, is a gilt like a bond?
Yeah, as you know, Tom, it's a UK government bond. You know, the funny thing is, we were thinking about changing the title because it's so misleading about what this publication's about. The problem is it's so well-known and popular in the UK, we really can't do it after, you know, doing it 58 years in a row. What happened is, I mean, it was originally known as a great source of long-term data. I mean, it's got gilt returns and FTSE returns back to 1899 and the U.S. data back to 1925. But we've used it in recent years as an opportunity to do research that banks usually don't do. And that is, let's step back instead of focus on the next day or the next week and talk about trends over the next 5 years. So that's what this is focused on. You know, we did a big piece on what do you expect, where do you put your money over the next 4 or 5 years?
Well, let's
or better or whatever.
Let's step back to the edge of Downton Abbey. U.S. asset returns since 1925. Yeah. Chapter 7, that's when you were a young whippersnapper, before the Depression. What do we learn about how we value our equities now versus how we valued them before the Depression?
Yeah, well, that wasn't one of the pieces we looked at. But, you know, because, look, the structure of the economy is just so different when you go back to the 20s. Stocks were, in a sense, a new thing, really, for retail investors. And as you know, we saw some herd mentality there in the 20s that got stocks way beyond fundamentals, and then that was followed by the crash of the Great Depression. Not that we don't have bubbles and crashes, we still do, but I think the environment was so different, it's kind of a little hard to draw lessons from there. But, you know, the fundamentals are basically the same. You know, it's expected earnings growth and discounted by an interest rate and all that.
Yeah, but some would say we can't even compare this global market now to 1994.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike McKee can jump in here. Well, we had some real interesting Fed market dynamics.
That's the question a lot of people are asking, and maybe Janet Yellen was trying to preempt the other day. Are we going to have this race for the door the first time we see some good news? Well, I guess it on either side of the pond, good news out of the UK economy or good news out of the US economy.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so. In other words, I think one of the things that's new in this, every cycle has its own idiosyncrasies and new things. They're never the same, which makes the business so interesting in analyzing these things. The new thing this time is central banks buying assets, really circumventing the banking system. Because you know how the usual monetary transmission mechanism is injecting or withdrawing reserves and changing the overnight rate, and it all goes through the banking system. This whole idea of massive expansion of central bank balance sheets and circumventing the banks and buying assets directly in the markets is the new thing. I think that, look, I know the Fed and Bernanke come out confidently, we'll be able to withdraw this on a timely basis, and we know how to do it and all that. The fact is they don't, because they've never done it before. It's a new experiment, and that's what worries me. You know, we did it just a very simplistic analysis. It's not in the equity gilt study. Just looking at the Fed balance sheet and the S&P, and the R square is 87%. R square is like a simple correlation, you know, since the Fed started the first QE.
Yeah, let me explain here, folks. Massive jargon alert. We're math-free on Friday, but we're not correlation-free.
Oh, Mr. Go to the Math Museum with Heidi Klum here today.
Yeah,
says math-free.
It's a simple correlation. Yeah. You know, 87%, in other words, of the changes in the S&P can be explained. This is a very simple correlation by variation in the Fed's balance sheet.
So, that puts both the equity market and the gilt bond market at the risk. Basically, you're saying, the Fed is saying to you, trust us, to investors, trust us. And if
that's
you don't,
right.
if you don't trust them or you're unsure, it could be pandemonium.
Right. Well, I think, look, the way we look at it is this may well be sowing the seeds of a bubble in asset markets, but it's too early to fight it. That's the point. The Fed has just embarked on QE3, and their balance sheet increase is accelerating now, starting in 2013. And so, and not only that, we're going to get the BOJ accelerating growth in their balance sheet. The ECB hasn't even started the OMT program, buying peripheral debt. They'll probably do that at some point. So, you know, you're still in this, but it does make you nervous. I mean, you don't have to be economist to realize that you'd rather see, to the extent the stock market's being driven by monetary expansion, that's not the firmest foundation on which to base the stock market, right? So, you know, it makes you nervous long term.
Larry, the thing of the moment seems to be, what is the plan, what is the path, what is the outcome once we get more restrictive, once we move away from an unlimited punch bowl? What is the Barclays research? What say DMAC?
Yeah, so what we're looking at, we do think that bond yields will back up, but we don't see a 1994 event where you get an explosive rise. This Fed has been always on the dovish side of whatever anybody's expecting. I know we're hearing a lot of noise out of the FOMC. I think Chairman Bernanke's still in control there, and he clearly sees the need for continued stimulus. So I think this is not a concern, certainly for the near term. I think it is going to be tricky when they start withdrawing stimulus. You know, I look for bond yields to back up, but really only gradually.
This is an incredible point. Of course, we've got the tools here from Barclays and Michael Pond and others in bonds. There's no inflation. The bond market's normal. So where's the where there now? Where are we supposed to go?
Well, for one thing, if you look at things like five-year forwards, I don't want to complicate things for the listeners.
No, we like that on a Friday.
These are inflation measures of inflation expectations that the Fed looks at, and the Fed cares a lot about inflation expectations. These have moved up. I mean, they're now moved up to something like 2.9%, close to 3%, and I think the Fed is watching that. So I think there has been a move there. In my view, to get 10-year treasuries back down to 1.5%, which is where they were, you know, last summer, early fall, you need the systemic risk to show up again. In other words, a lot of that was a risk haven sort of move to bonds when everybody was worried about a Chinese hard landing or a dissolution of the euro. Now that those risks are off, I think it's very tough to stay well under 2% on the treasury yield. And I think if you start seeing the economy perk up a bit, that's when, you know, you're going to move more into the sort of 2.25, 2.5 range. But right now, it's too early. You know, we just had the payroll tax increase. It looks like we're going to get some government spending cuts as well with this whole sequester thing. So I think it's going to be a while before the economy, even though housing is up, really starts to show strength overall.
And I just sent out, Mike, on Bloomberg Radio Plus, the five-year break-even chart, because we can do that.
Because we can. As long as we're talking gilts and equities, let me quickly ask you about gilts. We were just making a sort of forecast there for bonds. Marvin King suggesting more stimulus may be coming in the UK. Are we going to see UK bonds? Well, what are we going to see them do?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, they're going to stay very well bid because there's a place where it's very unusual how much fiscal tightening they did, and they uploaded it instead of backloaded it. So in other words, it's been coming the last couple of years, and there's more coming, and that's really keeping the economy very weak. And when you add Bank of England purchases, and as I said, as you just mentioned, the odds are that they do more. You know, it's hard to see much backup in UK bond yields. The only thing is that a factor going in that direction is that had become a safe haven away from the euro area. And now that the euro area has calmed down in terms of risks of dissolution, there's flows going back out. And therefore, you're seeing, we see some more weakness in the pound, because that was the pound and the Swiss franc were your big safe haven currencies.
Right.
And now money's flowing out of there, so we see weaker currencies. I did want to mention, if I might, on the equity gilt study, a main theme there, and that is what are equities going to do here over the next few years versus bonds and versus cash. And, you know, we have a very strong view that equities are going to tremendously outperform bonds. we're all used to low interest rates for a long time here, but people who've been in bonds have had great returns because offsetting these very low coupons has been a big rally, big appreciation in the value as interest rates have fallen, and we think that's over. We actually think over the next 5 years, in real terms, that is in inflation-adjusted terms, returns on government bonds are going to be in minus territory, like minus 2%.
Interesting.
And cash minus 1.5%, where we see real returns on equities 3-4%. That's after inflation. 3-4 is historically low in real terms, but it's relative to what you can get in bonds and cash. Okay. Tremendously attractive.
But what about commodities? I mean, your Halima Croft, yeah, is she's right. Trouble. I mean, she's talking about, you know, a higher commodities call. You've been one of the more optimistic houses I've seen on the street. Do you maintain your optimism on commodities?
Well, things are getting a little different in commodities because with these systemic risks that I've been talking about, a lot lower. I'm talking about China and I'm talking about Europe. There's less of a sort of risk-on, risk-off environment here, and you have to be more selective. So instead of seeing all commodities move up or down, depending on whether risk is on or risk-off, you got to be more selective. So on the energy side, we have been on the bullish side, and that's been borne out. And part of it is, you know, Halima Croft's our geopolitical expert, you know, that the Middle East is far from calm. I mean, nothing, you know, it's, in fact, it keeps getting more dangerous every day, and that's still where a lot of oil is produced, as you know. So we're still nervous about that. There's some supply concerns. But on other things like copper, with China really settling into a slower growth trajectory, we're not as optimistic.
Okay. Larry, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much. Greatly appreciated.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.